What is this kingdom of which he speaks? What is this realm of God's rule that changes the way that I live life, that changes my perspective on anxiety and the things that happen to me? Here's what it means, beloved. You want to know? Here's what it is. You want to know what changes everything for you? What is this kingdom?
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and Don will be concluding our series, Why Are You So Worried?, with part two of a message titled, Worthy of Your Trust. Last time, Don gave us the first of three aspects of the Father that demonstrate why God is indeed worthy of our trust. Don invited us to consider the Father's person, a loving provider. On today's program, our teacher will move into the Father's priorities and his promise. So have your Bible open and ready as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Take a look at the Father's priorities in verse 33. The Father's priorities. What are we to do with this then? How are we to arrange our life? How are we to fundamentally think and desire in our Christian life then? Verse 33 lays it out for us. In verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let me show you the context so that you get it here. In verse 31, he said, "Do not worry then." That's the negative command. In verse 33, he gives the positive command by way of contrast. Instead of worry, but contrast, instead do this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Interesting that his command is positive and it's oriented in vertical ways that is foreign to the thinking of an unbeliever. How is it that God dispenses this care? How is it that you live in the realm of this confident trust, this blessing of mind? Jesus says that God dispenses this care to you as you are seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. What does that mean? That's pretty important then. Stated a little bit differently, Jesus says you make God's kingdom and his righteousness the guiding priority of your life. So that it is more important to you than how your problems work out. It's more important to you than how earthly relationships work out. What God's kingdom and his righteousness call upon you, we'll explain this in a moment, is more important to you than anything else. And so we see here that Jesus is addressing us at the most fundamental level of our existence. He is calling upon you to think about what it is that matters to you most in life. And so this is why Jesus' teaching is so transforming. When he comes to us and addresses us this way in his word, it is so transforming because he is addressing the very core of our existence here. This isn't the internet telling you to learn how to do breathing therapy or to take more vitamins or to, you know, to just manage your emotions in some kind of superficial way. Jesus goes to the core of the problem and says your anxieties flow from the fact that you're treasuring the wrong things. The things that you love are not put in their proper sequence, you might say. And he says the way out of anxiety is to recognize that the kingdom of God and his righteousness are the guiding priorities in your life. So, if that's the case, and if that's the key to unlocking anxiety, then I want to know what it means. What is this kingdom of which he speaks? What is this realm of God's rule that changes the way that I live life, that changes my perspective on anxiety and the things that happen to me? Here's what it means, beloved. You want to know? Here's what it is. You want to know what changes everything for you? What is this kingdom, beloved? It comes down to this. It comes down to this. You settle in your heart and you cherish and love and value in your heart the future blessing of God in heaven more than you value anything in this life. And if you think about it, it could be no other way. What has God given us? A gift of salvation that results in eternal blessing to us forever and ever. Amen. As I like to say, We're going to see Christ. We're going to see Him face to face. We're going to be transformed into His image. We're going to be like Him, free from sin. All of the sorrows and difficulties of this life forgotten, swallowed up in the consuming majesty of the glory of seeing Christ face to face. That's what lays ahead for us. And don't you see that that is far more valuable than anything that could ever happen in this life? The best things that you want out of this life, the things that you most would want, whether it's the healing of your body or the salvation of your loved ones or financial prosperity and security, all of that is dung in comparison to the glory of Christ and being there secure with Him, perfected in glory, never to be taken away. That's more valuable than anything on this earth. That's just true. That's far better than the present. And if you are a Christian here today, that is your destiny. That is your future. That is the gift that God appointed for you to receive before the foundation of the world. Nothing in your life compares in preciousness to that. And the way that you are to think and the way that you are to process life is that the most precious thing to me is far more valuable than anything in my circumstances here. It can never be taken away. And I am settled on that as the thing that I most look forward to in life. Your King will reign. He'll reign on this earth for 1,000 years. He'll ultimately bring us into an eternal kingdom. And we will see His glory and His majesty and His power manifested, and we'll belong to Him. Scripture even says we'll reign with Him in some manner. And so, beloved, what you have to do, you're here and you've struggled with anxiety all of your life. Have you come to understand, have you come to see that the future is far more valuable to you than anything in the present? And that future that matters is secure, bought for you by the blood of Christ, never to be taken away. No one can pluck you out of His hand. Don't you see the security and the confidence and the hope that that floods your heart with? This is the outcome of life for you. So, when you're thinking rightly about it, and I realize the challenge as we go through day by day and life is right in our face, we have to come back to this again and again. That future is far more valuable to you than any human relationship on earth. If you had all of the world's wealth, it wouldn't be worthy of comparison to what that's going to be like in the future. Beloved, think about it from this perspective, knowing that many fear death and the process of dying and all of that. Don't you understand that death is merely going to be the gateway that introduces you to this glory by way of firsthand personal experience? So why are we anxious about finances? Why are we anxious about earthly relationships? Why are we anxious about our earthly life when all of it eventually yields into this great glorious kingdom that Christ has deemed pleasing to bring you into and include in the plan? That's awesome. That takes the weight off of everything. And so we long for heaven, not the comforts of this earth. We don't go out running around looking for this world to satisfy the longings of our heart. We realize that there's no corner of the world that we can run to and flee to that keeps out all of the problems. You know, even if you found a place like that, you know what would happen? Sin is still going to be in you there. You could run to a place, but the person that you are is still going to be with you. And you're still going to die. Even if you go to the most perfect place on earth, you're still going to die. And so you can't look for sanctuary any place in this earth and hope that that's going to deliver you from your anxiety. Because this uncertainty and the temporary nature of life is wound into our existence in a way that we cannot escape. And we're not meant to escape it. We're meant to look beyond it and say, it's that future glory that matters to me. It's that that thrills my heart. It's that which gives me my comfort. Oh, life here is bad. Well, yeah, that's the bummer. But look at what's coming. The uncertainties that attend your existence here on earth are secondary, my Christian friend, to a far greater reality that is certain and cannot be taken away. Look over at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And you'll see both of these themes, an earthly mindset and a heavenly mindset, side by side in this passage as well. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." You see it? Jesus said, Gentiles are seeking food, clothing, and drink. Paul says, their minds are set on earthly things. And it causes him to weep as he thinks about the ultimate end of their destruction. Verse 20, "You, by contrast, my brother and sister in Christ," this is the realm in which we live and think, verse 20 and 21, "for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself." Christ has power over all. He subjects all things to His will. That includes your temporary earthly existence, your passing, fading earthly body. Christ can transform that, and He will transform that by that power that He exerts over all things. So that your hope is what lies in the future. And that is the priority of your heart. That is what you set your heart on. This righteousness of which he speaks goes to how you respond to the life that he has given to you day by day. And that day by day you realize my priority in life here is to respond righteously to what is in front of me. For me to respond in a humble, sincere faith in my Savior, a faith in my Heavenly Father, and to live in a way that he's instructed me to do, that he finds pleasing. So that you realize that the important thing is not what so-and-so did to you, but how you respond to it. Oh, I can't retaliate. I'm supposed to love my enemies and pray for them. Oh, that changes the way that I look at things. That's what I want to seek. Those of you that are younger in life and dealing with the desires of the flesh, realizing that you trust in Christ and you look to Him as your supreme desire, and you do what you seek to put those things to death rather than to engage them. You see, beloved, you seek this righteousness first by cultivating your inner man, no matter what your external circumstances can be. Your external circumstances are great or they're really bad. The response is the same. The responsibility is the same. Oh, I need to love God and glorify Him here. And that's what preoccupies you. Gratitude and holiness and humility are the priority. Not manipulating circumstances so that they come out right as you would define it in your earthly thing. Where is your heart? Is your heart grateful? Are you pursuing holiness? Are you humble in the sense that more and more you realize that God is great and you are small? That He must increase and you must decrease, John 3:30. That is the pursuit of life for the Christian. And these other things come and go as they may. Seek first His kingdom, the glory to come. Set your heart on that. And His righteousness. Here today, I want my heart to be a mirror of gratitude and honor back to the one who purchased that future kingdom for me. Jesus says that'll cure anxiety for you because your mind will be preoccupied with the right things. The kingdom of God is the focal point of Christian priority. To seek the kingdom is to pursue its priorities. To seek the righteousness of God is to pursue personal holiness. How can I please God no matter what my future holds? That's the question of seeking. Now, finally, we've seen the Father's person, the Father's priorities. Finally, in terms of the believer's wealth, we have the Father's promise. The Father's promise. Look at verse 33 with me again. He says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All these things will be added. It's a passive voice. It's what they call a divine passive, meaning that it's God who adds these things to you. And the whole point of it is this. The point of what Jesus is saying here in verse 33 is this. You belong to Christ and you set your heart on the kingdom to come. You belong to Christ and you set your heart on personal holiness. Here's God's perspective on it. God honors that kind of life. God provides in that kind of life. He provides for His trusting child far more, infinitely more than an earthly father provides for the son who pleases him. Parents, fathers, your children, and you love them. Don't you provide for them? Don't you protect them? Don't you delight in them when they are responding to you in love and obedience? Well, the Father delights in those that He calls His own. And He doesn't abandon us. He provides for us in the midst of it. He said, you need life, you need food, you need clothing, you need drink. My child, I'll take care of it. Just focus on me. Focus on my kingdom. Isn't it true that God has done exactly that for you? When was the last time any of you missed a meal? Didn't have anything to eat whatsoever? When was the last time that you had nothing to drink? That you had no place to lay your head at all? Isn't it true when you look back on your life that what Jesus has said here in this context of food and drink and clothing and the needs of life, isn't it true that God has provided that to you and for many in abundance? Your life is a living testimony of the truth of what Jesus has said here. What you're to do then is to take all of this and say, I know who God is. I know Him by His attributes revealed in Scripture. I know Him revealed in Christ. My Father is a great one, the great one. His person is worthy of my worship and devotion. His priorities. He set the kingdom before me. I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to be there. I'm going to see Christ face to face and be like Him. Oh, that's magnificent. Here in this life, then let me just live for His glory. And you know what? I see His promise that He's going to provide for me. All of my life is a living testimony that He's done exactly that. There were times when I didn't know. There were times when the road had a tight curve and I couldn't see very far down the way. But all the way my Savior led me. What have I to ask beside? How can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort. Brother and sister in Christ, get it down, write it down, seal it to your inner heart and your inner mind. Lesser matters fade into nothingness compared to the wealth that you have as a believer. Now, Jesus doesn't tell us how the Father will fulfill the promise. He just says it will be done. Your job here today, your job in life is to settle the priority. God will take care of what He says His end of the deal is. And then you can let the details fall in place as they may. Yes, we still work. Yes, we still go out and earn our living. That's simply the means by which God fulfills the promise to us. So where does this contrast between worry and anxiety leave you? Look at verse 34 as we close. Verse 34, Jesus says, "So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Beloved, you can trust God today, despite your uncertain future, because of this. The God that's in control today, the God who is sovereign in all the ways that we've talked about here today, that God of today is also the God of tomorrow. You do not need to know what happens tomorrow in order to trust Him. You don't need to know what happens tomorrow in order to be at peace. You don't. You just need to remember that the God who has blessed you now, who is blessing you today, is the God who has tomorrow in His hand as well. And what has He said about tomorrow? What has He said about Himself? He said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. Christian friend, that is all you need to know to look forward to the future with confidence and without anxiety. Whatever happens tomorrow, my God will still be reigning and His grace will still be sufficient. Settle that in your heart and the anxiety of which Jesus speaks begins to be driven out again and again and again. And even if the worst thing comes to pass, His grace is still sufficient for you. Men and women, boys and girls, I would be a fool and a liar to stand up and promise you what life is going to be like for you tomorrow. Your life may change tomorrow. It may change dramatically. It may break your heart. But your Heavenly Father still reigns. Your Heavenly Father will not change. He'll be the same tomorrow as He is today. That's why you do not need to fear the future. And notice that you just teach these things, positive and negative, from all kinds of different perspectives. Christian trust, godly living, a godly heart is far more than simply saying, "Well, I guess this may never happen. Maybe what I'm afraid of won't happen." That's not trust. That's not biblical trust. Christian trust is not a fatalistic view that says, "Well, whatever will be, will be. You know, I can't do anything about it, so I might as well not worry about it." No. Christian trust is an active confidence in God and His promise to care for you. So that even if sorrow comes, you face the future with serenity. Why can we say all of this? It all boils down to one simple statement. This is your anchor in life. This is the call to your heart. This is your responsibility to believe. The God of the Bible, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of your salvation is worthy of your trust. And that trust is the birthright of all true Christians. So, my believing friends, take these things and dwell on them and meditate on them. Is the future hope of heaven that which is most precious in your heart? If it's not, you need to rethink life. Is the promise of the Father that He will care for you, do you believe that enough to rest in it? That's what Jesus says to do. For those of you that have been, that are here and you're not a Christian, you're kind of on the outside looking in, you should be thinking about it this way. You should be recognizing in what we've said here, the wonder and the beauty and the grandeur of the Christian life, the grandeur of Christ, the grandeur of living for Him, belonging to Him. And you should have this sense in your mind and in your thinking. You should feel like you're on the outside looking in at the candy store and your nose is pressed against the glass. Boy, I wish I could have some of that. Realizing that you're missing everything in life that matters. Everything in your existence that matters. There should be a longing in your heart welling up that says, "I want to know this Christ." Well, Jesus says to come to Him and He'll save you. Jesus invites you to come to Him and enter into this kingdom. He who believes in Him will never be disappointed. If you stand on the outside today, if you walk out of this room on the outside, not belonging to Christ, understand it's your own fault. You can't blame that on Jesus because Jesus says, "Come and I'll save you." Why don't you come and join with the rest of us in this hope that looks to a glorious future and satisfies our hearts today? Christ would have you if you would come.
And with that, we come to the end of our series, Why Are You So Worried? Pastor Don Green will start another impactful series next time, right here on the Truth Pulpit. So do join us then. But Don, what are the most important takeaways from this just concluded series?
Well, my friend, what can we take away from Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6? I would say a couple of things about it. First of all is that Jesus commands us not to be anxious. And as a Christian, that means that we need to respond, that there's a spiritual duty for us to deal with the matter of worry in our lives. And so we recognize it's important to deal with. But secondly, and just as importantly, Jesus premises that command on a reality about the nature of God. He is your loving Heavenly Father. He is in control of every detail of your life. He cares for the birds and the flowers, and therefore certainly He will care for you if you're a child of His through faith in Christ. And therefore worry dissipates before the recognition of the love and care of your Heavenly Father. My friend, that is why you don't need to be worried. It's because your Father loves you if you belong to Him through faith in Christ.
Thank you, Don. And friend, remember your standing invitation to visit thetruthpulpit.com. Meanwhile, we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.